the 3 weeks, you know, fully paid vacation in Tahiti, but you also get the matching set of luggage. You know, not only do you have the promise of never falling, but, or and, you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to spend just a minute on this, because the way my brain works, when I see the phrase rich welcome or abundant entrance, I think one translation says, I'm thinking that if that possibility exists, then it also exists to have the just squeak in by the skin of your teeth and just get inside the door and just be glad you're there kind of an entrance. Yeah, you're in. Okay? I don't want that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul talks about that, and he talks about people. I've always pictured the heavenly security entrance where you walk through, and it says all of our works that were just fleshly works. This is for believers. The two judgments, by the way, judgment for believers and judgments for unbelievers. And the judgment for believers has nothing to do with our salvation. That's already a done deal. But I picture walking through this thing, and then the heavenly fire comes and torches everything that's fleshly. And some people are going to walk in, and there's going to be smoke pouring off them. But, well, praise God, you made it, brother. You made it through security. And other people are just going to have a ton of stuff brought in with them, because Paul says the kind that gets burned up or fleshly works, it's wood, hay, and stubble. Stuff I did just for me, for my own glory, for my own self. And the other things are precious jewels and gold and silver, things that can't be destroyed. And that's what I did for spiritual things, which tells me that there's going to, I don't think a lot about reward. I think one of the reasons that I love that song that we sing is that I just, the thought of being able to be with Jesus in a completely uninhibited way and have him all to myself, neener, 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 that forever and ever and ever, I just can't wrap my brain around anything being more wonderful than that. But the Bible teaches that there are degrees of reward. I love the phrase, rich welcome. Can I tell you a story? I just read it this week. I can't even remember. It was a devotional book that I was reading. And I just said, oh, Lord, don't let me forget this. This will be perfect for the Wednesday night study. It's a true story told by a missionary in his autobiography. When he and his wife came home from 25 years in Africa, back in the days of steamship travel, they happened to come back on the same ship with President Teddy Roosevelt, who was also coming home from Africa from a two-week safari with all of his trophies and all of his entourage, his truckload of guns. And when the steamer pulled into, that transatlantic liner pulled into New York, there were bands there. There were thousands of people there to greet President Teddy Roosevelt coming home from his two-week hunting trip. And this husband and wife who'd poured out their lives in some obscure place in Africa, there was not one person there to meet them. They had to take a cab to the train station. They took the train to the town that they lived in. And some people that knew they were coming had opened their home up, turned the heat on, and basically they were able to come home, and they're sitting there in their home, first time in many, many years. And the husband said to his wife, you know, it's really not fair. Teddy Roosevelt comes home from a two-week hunting trip, and there's this fabulous party thrown for him. And we come home, there's not even one person there to meet us. And she said, but dear, we're not home yet. Isn't that just, it gave me chills when I read that, because I have a feeling that Teddy Roosevelt would be envious of the reception that those people would get. Jesus said something pretty mind-boggling, and he was not given to overstatement. He said, if you even gave a cup of cold water to someone who was thirsty and you did it representing me, you have a reward for that. God notices. I have on the sun visor of my car that scripture that says, that ends with saying, don't be weary in doing good, because if we don't give up at the proper time, we will reap a harvest. If we just don't give up. And then another one right next to it that says, your labor for the Lord is never in vain. Faithfulness is such a huge thing. And I want to live my life looking for his approval. I do want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm living for that. He's not comparing what he's called me to do with what he's called Pastor Joe to do. He just calls us to be faithful. But there will be a reward. I want to say something about degrees of reward, because I believe that's a biblical concept and don't understand a lot about it. But just let me pass two things on for you to consider. I don't know who did the song. I wish I did, because it was a great song. The one that talks about thank you for giving to the Lord. You ever heard that song? Oh, it makes me cry every time I hear it. You know, it's about the person who goes to heaven and this vast horde of people are standing there to meet them, come up and shake hands. And one guy says, you know, you don't remember me, but you taught a Sunday school class and I was the kid that was never listening. But I was listening. And I'm here forever because you are faithful. Thank you. And another person from another language comes with another language, and an interpreter from another country comes up and says, you remember that money that you gave to a missionary? You didn't really have it, but you gave it and you didn't even know where it went. Well, that the person that took that money to buy the materials and to buy the supplies so they could live in my country and told me about Jesus, I'm here in heaven forever because you gave that money. Thank you. And then the very end, there's this group of people there, and Jesus walks up and puts his arm around this guy, and he says, wow, look at your reward. I just get chills when I think of that. You know what? I was thinking about that today. I began to weep. I was thinking, Michael has no idea what his reward's going to be, but part of his reward is you guys are going to be in heaven. You guys are all going to be there together. You know, you don't know. This is a blip on the radar screen, folks. This life, whatever I have to suffer, whatever lengths I have to go to, having to live in a state I don't always want to live in, having to push through headaches to be here, those things are minuscule by comparison with the reward that comes. Even if all our reward was other people, we're going to be able to share in that bliss. I just don't think we could calculate how valuable that is. So I want to take a lot of people with me. I want to help my brothers and sisters to keep their focus so they don't get disqualified, so they lean into the tape and finish well. I want to do all of those things. And someday, while Jesus is hugging me and I find out he's my reward, he's going to say, look around you, son. Great is your reward. Kind of thrilling, isn't it? John Corson said something else, and I'll just pass it on to you. Do I have 5 more minutes? Thank you. We keep threatening to buy me a little timer, but I would forget to click it. I know I would. John Corson said this. He talks about what he believes the degrees of reward are going to be in heaven that are directly related to how I'm living my life here have to do with the capability of enjoyment. He said that you could give his 2-year-old son a bunch of saucepans and a wooden spoon, and he'd be happy all afternoon banging on those saucepans with a wooden spoon. But that wouldn't make Mozart happy. Too much time and ability and practice invested. Mozart wants a symphony orchestra to play his compositions and all kinds of time to rehearse and all kinds of time to write them. So the way I live my life now might have an awful lot to do with my capability of enjoying heaven. And I haven't fully wrapped my brain around that, but I do. There are a number of scriptures that talk about the way I live my life here, not being just about here. It has an awful lot to do with where I'm going to be forever. Peter's saying, you know, sure like for you guys to have a rich welcome. Not just the squeak in by the skin of your teeth kind of an entrance. So, and Peter says, verse 12, that's why I'm always going to remind you of these things, even though you know them and you're firmly established in the truth. I told you the two reasons why we need to be reminded even of stuff we know. And number one is we leak. We just were forgetful. We have too much information bombarding us. Can you remember everything from a 1 hour and 15 minute Bible study? I can't. And I'm the one that gave it. I'm so grateful that I can listen to it over again. So we leak. We need to be reminded. And the other thing is very, I think, underappreciated. We have an enemy, and he wants to snatch the seeds away before they have a chance to grow. Jesus said that. So good to be reminded. Refreshing your memory. I told you about the difference, verse 13, between refreshing someone's memory and nagging. One other comment and I'll close. I think I've got a couple more minutes on. Okay. Peter talks about, I think it's right to refresh your memory, verse 13, as long as I live in the tent of this body. And he uses the word for the kind of a tent that is simply you pull it out of your off your back and you set it up to keep the rain off for night. You're not going to spend a lot of time there. You're certainly not going to put in a concrete driveway. You're not going to put in cable TV. This is just something to keep the rain off. What was the word, Tony? Bivouac? I think that's the military term for just a temporary shelter. Interesting that Peter talks about his body has been a temporary shelter. As far as him saying, I know that I'm soon going to leave this tent, I'm not exactly sure what that refers to. I wonder if it could refer to the very end of John, where Jesus told Peter, you know, the way that, you know, that he was going to die in circumstances that were against his will, not what he would have chosen. Or if it was something specific, if that was something general, and then Jesus just said, okay, Peter, time is short, buddy. I do know this. Unless he tells me, I don't know how long I have. I was trying to explain this to somebody. I was trying to explain why I feel a sense of urgency. And I do. I do with every Bible study. First of all, I don't know if I'll see you again, because you may not be here. I don't know if I'll see you again, because I may not be here. I don't know if this is the last opportunity that I have. The other thing about recording that I've learned being on the receiving end, sometimes the very words somebody needs to hear that change the direction of their life, that pull them out of a catastrophic nosedive, happen because of something that's said in one Bible study, one phrase, one scripture, and I don't want to waste the opportunity. So I can relate to what Peter is saying. I just love that that's the way he went out. It's awfully different than the way he started, isn't it? He started thinking he was just so cool. He just started thinking, yeah, he was so devoted. He was absolutely certain of his devotion. But he was wrong. He just way underestimated his weakness. But he was restored. He never seemed to forget that. And I just love that he finished his life. And to be honest with you, I don't know how old he was when he died. I've never checked that out. But I want to finish the way he finished. I want to finish reminding my brothers and sisters of what the main thing is. What we've been promised, what's available to us. There's no reason for us to stumble and fall. We stay close to Jesus. He'll hold us up. And I'll just keep saying that. And let's pray. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I do thank you, especially for those promise verses that we read. You know, they have kept me from sinking under the accusations of my enemy. I do know that when my eyes are on me, I get depressed. When I am looking to you, I have hope, I have strength, and everything looks possible. You're the creator. There is no limit to what you're able to do. So, Lord, we don't want to fight you. We want for the things that we're learning to be exercised. So we just ask humbly for if we're missing it, if we're not seeing things properly, if we're just reacting to things like it's something that happened and not realizing this is an exercise. That's all it is. It's an exercise for me to see God's faithfulness, to learn what I need to learn. Help us to do that. Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful words that Peter gave us before he left. We love you. Keep us safe, Lord, as we go home. I pray that we would always spur one another on to faith and good deeds, like it says in Hebrews. I pray, Lord, that we would always lift each other up and encourage each other. Lord, thank you for doing that. I just love the way you are with me. You know, the perfect thing to say at the perfect time if I'm listening. So thank you, thank you, thank you. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for coming. Amen. Thanks for coming.